I'd like to introduce Shubha Priya. When Shubha was in her teens, she heard Maurice Chevalier singing the lyrics of a song in the movie Gigi. And it said, "Oh, I'm glad that I'm not young anymore." Struck by the way he sang it with such conviction, Shubha wondered how growing old could ever be joyful. After all, she was in her teens, having a fantastic time as most teenagers do. Well, fast forward to her 60s, Shubha moved with her mother to what most people refer to as an old age home. Nowadays, they've begun to call it a senior citizen home, but I think still most people call it an old age home. The stark side of aging was visible all around her, a daily reminder of Shakespearean vision coming true. Sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste, sans everything. Shubha's mother passed away in 2021, but Shubha chose to stay on at the old age home. In between the teenage years and those of living in an old age home, Shubha served as a creative director in leading advertising agencies around the world. She's currently fulfilling her lost childhood dreams of being an author and musician. She wrote, illustrated, and designed her book of satirical verses for adults called Whimsical Brew, which I know is available on Amazon. I have a copy of it, I'm delighted to say, and I have found it good fun. It's one of those books you keep on your either your office table, if you're lucky enough to have one, or your bedside table, and you just pick it up, you dip into it, you enjoy it, it's whimsical thoughts, you laugh out, you say, that's funny or not, and it's a good book. So I suggest you pick it up and check it out for yourself. And when she's not doing that and living with old people in an old age home, Shubha is also learning to play the piano. She says it might help her to keep dementia at bay. So I'm really grateful that Shubha has agreed to join me in talking about stories seldom told. Because how often do we meet somebody, and for those of you who are seeing it on video, you will see that Shubha is a young 60-something-year-old. She's not doddering. She is not what we would call old these days, in inverted commas. And yet, she lives her life in and amongst people, most of whom, with perhaps the exception of Shubha and who knows how many more, who see themselves as old. So I'm very grateful for that, Shubha. And thank you for joining me today to share your stories seldom told.
Smita, I'm immensely grateful that you even asked me. Thank you. I'm sure it's going to be a very rewarding chat with you. Thank you so much for having me on your really prestigious show. I've watched so many of your podcasts, and every time I come away feeling so inspired. Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be here.
Thank you, Shubha. Before we even get going, I thought I shall play a little clip.
Dead and depressed and in a spin. Poor boy. Poor boy. All youth can really do a fair all in. How lovely to sit here in the shade with none of the woes of man and men. I'm glad I'm not young anymore. The rap.
I'm going to pause it only because we want to talk and not just hear Maurice Chevalier singing very beautifully. But I just thought people may not have seen Gigi. People may not even know what Gigi is. So I thought, let me introduce Maurice Chevalier singing "I'm Glad I'm Not Young Anymore" to our audience. And they have a feel for him. But let's get back to you, Shubha. So you're in Bangalore, is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah. So you're in Bangalore in India, in a senior citizen or yes, whatever you want to call it, home. And yeah, you're in your 60s. And,
yes.
And let's just go back to the beginning. You said you moved in there with your mom. So
yeah,
your mom, what was that about? I mean, you felt you needed to be with her. She wanted to live with you.
Yes. My work was taking me to Chennai a lot, which meant a lot of the times I wouldn't be at home. And, you know, she was getting a bit tired. She was in her late 80s and she was getting tired of also handling some of the, you know, obviously it falls on her, right? While I'm traveling, to handle the maids coming in, the cooks, and you know, she had wanted to stop cooking as well. I mean, you do it for a lifetime, and that's a that's the one thing that gives you liberation to get out of the kitchen. But then still, it's handling a cook and all of that that she didn't want anymore. And so she declared to me and my two siblings that she'd like to move into a home. And it appalled us. I mean, we were all at that stage when we said, oh my God, has it really come to this? And my first thought was, how on earth does an 88-year-old woman move into a home, and amongst such unfamiliar people and all of that? So it really, because both of my other sisters had also looked after their elderly in their homes, I didn't think twice when my mother said she's moving. I said, I will move with you. We hadn't found the place or anything yet, but I knew that was just, the right thing to do, even though, I felt that I could be perhaps supported as well in being able to take care of her. So we came to this place, and it's out of Bangalore. It's not nowhere in the heart of the city or anything like that. So it's a kind of a world away. It actually felt like we were going off into another city altogether. And it was a long, beautiful driveway coming in. And as soon as we saw the wide open spaces, everything that Bangalore was not, I had the feeling that I'm going to, this felt good. And that's so important. Everybody, I think, when they step into any new place, you want to feel like, yeah, this is for me, at that instant. And it was a series of good things followed. We were able to find a place just very close, exactly where we wanted. And it was available for rent. And my mother didn't even look at another home. We ate at the dining room. She liked it there. She saw the kind of people around. They were the kind of people that she could have a connection with. It took all of a half a day. And before you knew it, we had taken the decision, let's not even go and see anything anymore. She just declared, this is it. We'll take this.
Forgive me, because my mother is at the moment 88. And we are all of an age, you and I included. I am lucky enough to still have a mother. Sadly, I'm sorry that your mother passed away in 2021. But many of us who are any age 60 and above, and who have parents, their parents will be fairly old. And as you already mentioned, you're one of three. You're three sisters, well, you said.
Yes, I'm the last.
I just want to, because we know nothing about you, Shubha, and I want us to get the whole picture. And you said your sisters also cared for the elderly, but this is obviously not their mother, but this is your mother and their mother. Yes. They cared for their in-laws, for
her mother-in-law. My sister Banu cared for her mother-in-law. My sister Indu cared for her father-in-law. Everybody had had their fair share.
Right. So, but they cared for their elderly relative in their own home.
Yes.
Yes. And they were caring for these individuals in their own home at the time your mother announced that she wanted to move?
One of them had passed away, but yes, Indu was caring for her father-in-law. And, they had all done their... I mean, they've had long years of, caring. So it was absolutely fine with me. The wonderful thing is the sibling support. Even though physically they may not be with me, I know that continuously through this thing, their emotional support was absolutely vital, and it was given, and it was wonderful. It did help me, cope.
Actually, that makes sense because, as we've spoken... off camera to each other. And at the moment, I am in Delhi with my elderly mother, but I usually live in London. And my sister lives in California. And my mother lives with my brother in Delhi. But again, we are three siblings. And like you three siblings, we, even if we cannot be physically here, we give emotional support. And we try to be here as often as we can to give physical support as well. So I get that. And I appreciate that it's so important that even though it's only you, you're also acknowledging the very important emotional support that you're getting from your siblings as well. So you're where you are, and I so something else, and forgive me, if you don't want to talk about it, you don't have to. But your mother aged at that point, you said 88, 89.
Yeah.
How was she as an 89-year-old woman? She was compass mentis enough to make her own decisions.
Absolutely.
Is what you're telling.
Yes.
Physically fit?
Yes. Physically fit. She was very good. She's in very good shape for her age. I would say that a lot of her own friends, she was way above them in terms of just being able to do a lot more things. But the most beautiful thing, Smita, is that she used to be a Carnatic musician, a singer. Her voice began to improve in the 80s. And I her daily riyaz, she was very, very, clear that she would sing any minute that she got. In the bathrooms or anywhere in the morning, you'd know her routine. And I used to just say, my goodness, it's become better and better. And everybody used to remark. Now, the amazing thing is that she had the best years of her life being appreciated for the one thing that she loved doing, which was singing. In a place like this retirement home. Yes, I've stopped that conscious bias that, calling it an old age home doesn't work anymore because it, pulls up all those odd visions, because this place is not. In a sense, it's apartment living, right? So we are all living as we used to in the city, except that we have this beautiful community around us of like-minded people. For my mother, not so much for me, but therefore when she was here, her best years here were about her singing at the clubhouse to standing ovation from all the people in the community who just absolutely knew and admired the quality of her voice and her singing. And and there were many musicians here much younger than her in their 70s. And they would say they have not heard a voice that is so spot on, in tone and pitch and rhythm and everything. She really, she's been a superior singer out here. And my aunt used to join her several times along with her on stage. So my mother, I think, was so fulfilled, something that she never got earlier in her life. Even though she was such an accomplished musician, she didn't get the right breaks. She was not recognized. But imagine just before, the 3 years before you pass away, you get all this adoration, from the right people too. So very, right. Very fulfilling,
so
yes.
To me, that just, it just fills my heart. I haven't had the pleasure of knowing your mother or meeting her. Makes you think to yourself, I imagine, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, that this was so the right thing she did to move into the senior citizen.
Absolutely. There were so many. I must tell you, Smita, that when we, the first week or 10 days when my mother and I came in here, after we had said yes, we actually thought this was the worst decision of our lives. But the thing is that we just, the adjustment was hard, because you do see a lot of very, very old people. And then she kept saying, namba yenga vandirko, which is, where the hell have we come? Is this the place we really want to be? And we were sitting in this beautiful gazebo. We were surrounded by flowers and we couldn't see it, because at that point in time, all we saw was the elderly people half, tottering in there, and then the wheelchairs being pushed around. And my mother seriously started feeling, okay, is that my future? It's already here.
All of which are very powerful. So I'm just trying to think aloud with you. Now, let's go back to that first day. Within half a day, your mother made a decision that this is where she was going to live the rest of her life.
Right.
That in itself, if you think of that sentence, the rest of my life, I am going to live and I'm going to die here, is what she's saying to herself. That's what she's made a decision. But now in the first week, after the euphoria of the first day or the first half day or even the first 2 days of die down, your mother's now beginning to get a bit worried, a bit depressed, because all she's seeing around her are the worst of the elderly people, is what you're suggesting. It's not in any way to paint a negative picture.
No.
But can you give us a little bit more detail? Because we don't know. If yeah. I go to a senior citizen's home, I may choose to go to meet, if I knew your mother, meet your mother. I might go and sit with her in a living room, chat with her for 10 minutes and come home, or half an hour or whatever. I'm not there 24/7.
So you're sitting here in this gazebo and then you see the ambulance rush by. You see the stretchers come out. You see, people probably that you know suddenly taking a turn for the worse, coming down in a stretcher, being loaded into the ambulance. You see news about deaths of somebody whom you probably don't even know, but you know that you're surrounded by what looks like the last years of everybody, right? And then you see people in wheelchairs and a lot of them on walkers, coming into the dining room. So, it hits you as you do.
And your mother did not require a walker, did she?
No, she did not. She was very proud. And
that's why I really wanted to paint a picture of your mom first.
Yes.
She's a fit woman. She can walk herself.
She was mentally
also fit.
But until the age of 88, she could sit on the ground and get up by herself. So South Indian classical musician is a Carnatic musician. She was a vocalist. Most women her age would be trained in the vocals from very, very early on. And so she had reached a certain level of proficiency. And of course, the rest was, just her effort during her later years. She was extraordinary, I would say, at that time. She far exceeded some of the other musicians who were all AIR, that's All India Radio, established musicians as well. But she was not known at all, So she was fit because she would draw the kolam, which is the rangoli, which is, just before you say prayers to the god, she would bend forward, draw this little diagram on the floor and sit by it, finish her prayers and then stand
up. Sit cross-legged on the floor. I really want us to see this. This fit 88-year-old woman. I want to paint a picture. Yeah. This 88-year-old woman sitting on the floor, saying her prayers, and South Indian Carnatic vocalists and other classical musicians sit cross-legged on the stage or on the floor to sing. If you visualize an opera singer, you visualize them standing.
Exactly.
Singers perform in different ways.
That's the difference.
Very important for us to acknowledge.
Absolutely.
So she is sitting, she is singing. And what about mentally? If I were to meet your mother just the day before she moved in to the care home and she's never met me before, and I say, my name is Smita, lovely to meet you. And I explain to her something or the other, and then I meet her a week later. Will she remember me? Will she ask me questions about me?
Absolutely. She would not just remember you. She would actually ask you some very pertinent things about you, she would have made cross references. She would have remembered people who probably knew you from before. And let me tell you, a lot of her really, really close friends who absolutely adored her were in their 50s and 40s, whom she had known for a very long time in the city. She had friends from all ages. She could
reminds me of my mama.
Yes, she could be anybody's friend. And every time you met, she would be able to tell, take off from there and ask you very pertinent things. Even among all the relatives, the cousins and the extended families and all of that.
Can you She had a finger on the pulse. So here is this amazing, incredible, 88, nearly 89-year-old woman who is physically fit, who is mentally fit, and who has now decided that enough is enough.
Her, when she was in the city, I think she was depressed, frankly. There was no purpose to this. Here, she was rejuvenated. She was, because she knew so many songs that they didn't know, she was teaching them some fresh songs. And she was highly valued at the time that she spent over here.
3 years.
She was physically getting on in years. I would say that her best time was mentally, you know, the thrill she got and her emotional satisfaction really began to come to full fruition here in many ways.
Which is wonderful. And thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
So it's lovely to mark that. But now let me just come to you, Shubha. So, you know, you're a young 60-year-old. You're this high-flying career woman, advertising, you know, zooming and rooming and, you know, the whole shebang. And you've made a decision, in your opinion, and in hindsight, rightly so, because you saw how your mother flowered. But you wanted to be there for your mom. But there was something else going on there as well. Because you said that when your mother said to the three of you, I'm done, I'm moving to an senior citizen home, the three of you, and these were your, this was your word, appalled. So what's that about? Why were you appalled?
It's hard to tell somebody, you know, or actually moved into a senior citizen's home. The bias kicks in immediately. They judge you instantly, right?
In what sense?
They're first appalled that you are not old enough to, you know, to be moving there. So have you gone off your rocker, you know, to be actually, you know, moving into such a depressing place? You know, it just felt like many people said, but that's very unfair. Why do you have to go in there? So I realized that I made that decision for a number of reasons. Let me tell you that it supported me too. I didn't make this decision selflessly. There was
I'm going to be devil's advocate and say, are you sure that you knew it would support you? Or are you saying that with the benefit of hindsight? Before I even asked how it supported you.
I'll tell you how, because, you know, okay, at that time, I thought if I'm going to make it through this, I better just live in the moment for the day, you know, and then think of what, one thing that totally attracted me to this place was not the place itself, but the surrounding area. This was North Bangalore. It was unexplored. And one of the things, Smita, I've done all my life is to explore new countries, new cultures, new people. And this was right up my street. I just said, wow, look at this brilliant Nandi Hills. Did you know, Smita, that Nandi Hills is the oldest feature in India? It's the oldest geological dated features, 3.5 billion years old. And it's in my backyard and I haven't seen it. And then I saw train stations, which was so charming, that was 100 years old. I'm talking about ancient. That's where I had come. There were 100-year-old train stations built by the British in crumbling state. And I wrote about it on a Facebook post. And it got so much traction that the railways actually have now restored it. The Intact has actually restored the whole, all the four stations that we had written about, had taken photographs. It became a movement. There were activists who came in. There were people.
So you were busy. You moved in there, and in addition to saying hi to mom while she's singing, you were getting on with things.
She had her life and I had mine. And I zoomed off. I would take off in my car and I would just go exploring. And I found this beautiful 200-year-old temple, you know, lying in ruins. And I tried to find out more and more about it. And it was built in, you know, maybe in Tipu Sultan's time. So I knew it was over 200 years old. And I found exquisite carvings there. I wrote about it and that got published as well. So, you know, it was an adventure that continued the way I had always been. So I had no regrets. This supported me.
How long did that take? So how quickly were you doing your thing and your mom doing her thing? How long did that take?
The pandemic helped. It bonded us. We were at home all the time, right? And, you know, it really helped with the guilt trip. You know, she kept saying, you should have had a life on your own. I brought you here, all that blah. I said, look, it's the pandemic. Nobody can go anywhere, you know. So it's a perfect time for me to be at home. It just worked out that it's the best thing that happened. And so she stopped, you know, complaining about that and feeling regretful about it as well. Yeah.
But let's come back to you then, Shubha. So You know, you've moved there, but you've always been a mover and shaker, zooming around, doing whatever you want to do. So technically, right, you moved there, and technically, of course, you are there, practically and technically, you are there for your mom. That's the first and foremost reason you moved, but that is not stopping you from doing what you want to do. And absolutely, you're continuing to be busy. You can drive, you have your own vehicle. Are you sharing a flat with your mother, sharing a bedroom? How does it work?
To describe this, it's exactly like every gated community that has apartments. So we have many blocks, we have 5 blocks, and we have apartments on every floor, right? So ours is a 3-bedroom apartment, which I deliberately took because I knew that when my mother, you know, would likely move into a state when she would need a nurse, and I would need a nurse's room and a bathroom and all that as well. So moved in for that reason. And it has served me really well because she did fall and have a break. She broke her hip, and then that's when she lost her zest for life. I would say that it took a year before she said, you know, I've had enough. I've seen enough. I've had enough. I have had the best years, and she wanted to go. Yeah.
But let's come back to you, Shubha. And this idea of, I think the word you used is that you were embarrassed. How can you tell people? And equally importantly, people saying to you, you know, why are you doing that? And making assumptions on the fact that you're living in a senior citizen home. So how did you work around that?
By being more engaged. By getting more involved with the environment around me, by, you know, writing. Oh, by the way, the first month that we moved here, Bryan Adams played here across the street. So did I? I told everybody, you know what? I've moved into the most rocking senior home, literally. And there's this rock star, and you guys can come over because it's a free concert that I'm going to watch from the terrace. So believe it or not, I had a party with all my friends, and we were up on the roof.
Friends of your age?
Yeah. They were all my age, you know, mid-60s, and we were all up on the roof partying till 2 o'clock in the morning because we could watch the entire show for free. So we had A.R. Rahman following right after that. So everybody thought that I really had moved into a very, very rocking place, right? So,
but did you actually say to people openly that, oh, by the way, you know, if you met somebody for a meeting or something, pardon me, and people say, where do you live? Do you just say, I live at, and you mention the location? Or do you make a point of saying, I live in a senior citizen's home in such and such place?
No, I would just say
the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Or do you kind of whitewash it? That's the question I'm asking.
I think I started whitewashing it, but very not too, you know, quickly down the line. I said, this is, you know, it's stupid to live this way.
What were those unconscious biases of yours that you felt you needed to whitewash it in those early days?
In those early days, I was trying to, you know, justify things for myself. But I realized soon enough, or rather people noticed that, hey, you're actually enjoying yourself, right? And I said, actually, yes, I am. And first it was the external enjoyment outside of this community. But after my mother passed away, it was internal. It was the people I met here.
Tell us a little bit about that, Shubha, because the assumption that most of your friends would have made is that you went there because your mother was elderly and you felt you needed to be with her, and that you did the right thing. And everybody, you know, including me, applaud you, as your sisters would have done, that your mother in the last years of her life had you with her 24/7 pretty much, even though you were busy because you're young enough and fit enough and capable enough to doing other things. So that's great. But she passed away in 2021. We're now in 2024. Why do you not say, well, that part of my job is done, and I can go back into the city, or I can, in the same area, which I now love, but not in this gated community of all people, I can find somewhere to sit and to live. Why did you not do that? Because that would be the obvious next step, would it not?
No, because I fell in love with the elderly here. There are some extraordinary. And another thing, Shubha, is that I'm writing a book, and I tell you, the amazing people that you meet over here, they've given me so much impetus and, you know, a reason, the purpose actually, for me to continue to stay here as well. There is a 100-year-old man here, okay, and he says the most extraordinary things to his daughters, whom I know very well, and his son-in-law. They all of them keep feeding me with the stuff that he, his pronouncements. And it's very often I meet him too. I go over to his place. The other day, I had beer with him on a Sunday morning. And, you know, and he was still, he can't hear, but he is so sharp and he is so audacious, I would say even. He's 103 now. He turned 100 in 2021. He's 103. His birthday is next month. And we're all looking forward to this.
What kind of pronouncements? Tell us more. What kind of pronouncements?
This is actually what kickstarted my book. Because he said, one day he declared to them, he said, you know, when I'm about to die, no need for any ambulance and all that. I'll walk to the crematorium. So he actually wants to be walking to the crematorium.
And then he'll lie down and go.
Lie down. It takes 100 years. You have to be 100 years old to be able to make statements like that. That absolutely is, you know, with no fear, with ease and calm. That's all there's left to do. I said, oh my gosh, I've never heard such an original statement, you know, about death, about dying, about being satisfied with life too, you know.
It's a lovely point where I want to ask you, when you're talking about death and dying and satisfied with love, with life, as we mentioned earlier on, people like you and I, of people who are in our 60s, we either have parents who are elderly or have witnessed and lived with elderly folk. You have gone one step more, because not only did you live with an elderly mother and father at some point, but you are now continuously living with people who are average age 80, 90, 103. And you are constantly being reminded of death, dying, old age, and so on. When you're looking at all of these, I don't know if you're able to do this, but before you went into the care home, did you have any opinions and assumptions? Not when Maurice Chevalier excited you at the age of 15 or whatever age you were. Then right. That was a different. The 15-year-old singing to a song from Gigi and saying, I'm cool and I'm 15, and what's he singing about that is cool to be old? That's okay. Because mm-hmm. you were already thinking, why, what is it about being old? So you've had that thought for a lot of time, but you're now where you are. And you and I have, I would assume, lived longer than we will live.
Yes.
That's a realistic sentence to say.
Yes.
Knowing that as fact, before you went to the care home, what kind of ideas did you have in your mind about being old, getting old, two different things?
I didn't think too deeply about growing old at that stage, because I was still had a job and I was, you know, busy coping with life as it was before we came here. You know, it hits you only when you come here and you're exposed to this kind of thing every day, that you start thinking of your own growing old and all of that.
Okay.
You know, how vulnerable you are, and, you know, is that going to happen to me? And, this kind of thing that it's almost like by osmosis, everybody will get, you know, the same diseases, and, you know, it felt initially like, hey, it would hit a blind spot for me, because I don't want to deal with thinking about it. After a point, it was, what's the point of thinking about it? You know, when it comes is when to think about it and do something about it. But right now, it hasn't hit me that way as yet. So
why
not?
What do you mean by it hits a blind spot? So you were trying to fight the idea that you are going to get old.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to deal with it. You said, forget about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to switch that off. I'm going to lock it away in the cupboard.
Yeah.
And if and when I need to deal with it, I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
So are you saying, and I'm putting words in your mouth, because what I'm understanding you're saying is you were afraid. You were fearful of getting old. Is that what you're saying? Why were you avoiding?
I was afraid. I was in denial at a certain point. But I also felt that is absolutely ridiculous for me to keep on being in that space of fear, getting the same fears that the elderly are facing too, that I had to distract myself.
So sorry, I'm sorry to interrupt. What fears are the elderly facing?
A lot of people talk about it. They're not sure. Many of them are not sure whether they'll financially be able to support themselves. They have kids who are away abroad. They don't know that at the right time, will they have the right support? This is a community that has a clinic, an ambulance, two ambulances on call. They are at your doorstep within 5 minutes. They will take you to the hospital in less than half an hour. There are nurses, there is a doctor, and there are extraordinary support system. There's a dining room, so you stop cooking, you stop thinking about planning your meals. How liberating is that? So, there's nothing but time on your hands. Now, that can be a double-edged sword, because you can use all that time to be thinking about yourself and your how horribly old you're going to get and how is this all I'm going to be looking at all day. And then there are those people who take that same fear and turn it, like I was trying to do, which is turn it to advantage and say, how do I delay that, whatever's going to happen to me ultimately, by extracting the most I can over what's given to me for the day and really milk it. So if, Bangalore weather is just so extraordinary. So, there were days when you can just jump in the car, take off somewhere, take a whole bunch of seniors out on a ride with you. There were ways to get happy. And it's so simple. What does it take? You just, go and look at the flowers and go to the gardens, go to a nursery. Many of them wanted to just buy potted plants. So we'd all jump in the car and take off in the evening to, get potted plants. So there was
a question I never asked you, Shubha. Are you and were you the youngest in the senior citizen home?
No, I was not. Actually, there were a lot of, you can start at the age of 55 to start.
I read that.
So there were a lot of people who had bought the place, but were not here continuously. They dip in and out. It was all the ones in their 70s, 80s, and 90s who were here continuously, more or less.
Therefore, you were the youngest because you lived there continuously.
I did, but I wasn't the youngest. I know many other people who are much younger than me. I was 68, 65 when I came in.
I digressed a little because I also wanted to appreciate your age in the larger age. So to begin with, you were fearful. You were in denial. Right. You didn't want to think about this business of, and you shared, because you were constantly witness to it, you shared the same fears and worries that many of the residents had. And you still do.
Yeah.
For example,
I think it's anybody's worry that should you have a fall and all that, are you going to be putting others to great strain? My mother used to constantly worry about, putting others, I don't want to put them out. I would say that about
myself. I don't want to be a burden to you, my mother says.
Burden, yes. Exactly.
I don't want to be a burden to you, yes.
Yeah. So I worry about that. And then a lot of people continuously say old age is a curse, it's a curse, it's a curse, it's a curse. It's almost a mantra. And then I get so upset when I hear that, because you the more you say it, actually, it has the potential to be a curse. It really does. So
I met a 94-year-old woman in Calcutta who I know very, very well. And whenever I'm in Calcutta, I make a point of visiting. She used to be my home economics teacher in school. And when I met her last, she said, old age is a challenge.
Yeah.
So without a shadow of a doubt, it is challenging for all of us as we get older. But the idea of old age is a curse, and you're absolutely right. We hear that phrase far more often than the word challenge. So perhaps you can go back and tell your friends that it's not a curse, it's a challenge. And you can give that that credit to Flower Silliman, who lives in Kolkata.
All right.
Just this idea of learning. You know, you still have fears.
Yeah.
You know, about falling, about breaking hips, about aspects that a lot of older people, you know, your mother broke a hip. It could be something else. It's usually hips for women, though. You're right. That's what I've read multiple times.
In
what
bathrooms.
Else? Yeah. In bathrooms. And what are you fearful about?
Well, I wouldn't say fearful, because right through my life, I've been kind of, the right things have happened at the right time. And I know it only on hindsight. I mean, I fretted about it. So I keep reminding myself, there's no point, you know, dwelling too long, because a solution will come, you know. Don't overthink it. The solutions will come. You can't plan too much, you know, ahead in life. So finally, when I think about myself growing old, is this the place I want to be in? I don't think so. I'm not sure. You know, right now it is such a brilliant place, because it was where my mother had felt most comfortable, and it worked in many ways still, and still works for me. If you ask me, I would say, Smita, it would be like-minded people like us living in a home, you know, with my sisters close by, you know, all of which is not yet there and could likely be there someday, that we'd all, you know, that this is what we dream of. We'd love to be in a place.
It's possible, that you lovely three sisters together. I love it when I hear about three siblings who are close, because us, the three of us are also very close. And I think it's wonderful that, you know, siblings can have a close, loving relationship.
It's a lucky thing.
And I've also met you, one of your sisters, who's delightful. So you are already thinking of an age like your mother, when you no longer want to zip around in a car. And I mean, you're already not doing many of the things your mother did in her 60s, just to remind you. You're not cooking. You're not planning meals. You know, if you're having guests around, it's very easy. You're doing your own thing.
Yes.
But the easiest and simplest way, which your mother worked much harder at your age, running a home and everything else. So are you saying that when you, let's imagine 20 years from now, you will say, okay, are you saying you'll move out of this care home in a few years and then consider moving somewhere else? What are you thinking?
Like I said, it's impossible for me to overplan this. All I know is my wish list is that I hope I'm around with some of my best pals who are also with me, all growing older together. And until then, I have fabulous people who come and visit me. Like I have a friend right now from Chennai who's come to stay a whole month with me, because they know it's stress-free living here. They don't stress me out one bit. You know, if you want food, we get it. If there's this, we'll drive down somewhere. There's nothing to worry about. And we love that. I've been able to host many people like that who are, you know, pals of mine who just want to hang out. So I find that's the kind of quality of life going into the future, which we'd all love.
But tell me about this idea of, you know, we talked about fear of falling and so on. What about fear of death? Do you think about that?
A lot. Actually, death fascinates me. I've been reading endless stuff about it, trying to draw my own conclusions. And, you know, one of the things that always has struck me is it takes a village to raise a child, right? And that's how we grew up. We had a whole neighborhood bringing us up. We could stroll into anybody's house and be fed by some auntie or the other, right? And the parents didn't worry. Now, to the elderly, it takes a community to transition the elder into death. It takes a community. You need the support system.
Please expand that.
You need, you know, you need all of the support of not just family in your old age. I think it needs a community. I think it needs the community of elderly who can empathize, who know exactly what you're going through, you know. And it's not the younger who can empathize. It's the same age. They are at your side. They know what you're going through. There is a community of, you know, with the doctors on call. There is a community of people. I'm telling you, the most beloved people on campus are those who serve us every day at the dining room. It's wonderful to have, to, you know, to serve somebody. They feel fulfilled. They're wonderful girls and boys who come in from the villages to serve the elderly. I cannot tell you, this is, it's a healing thing. This, a community built like this, where people serve you at lunch and dinner, where you just eat, get up and go, and they do everything for you, is you have to have huge gratitude.
What you're saying is that just this nuclear family, which is what increasingly families are about, mm-hmm. is no longer enough.
Yes.
When we're getting older towards death and dying.
No, Smita, it's actually families that are contentious. You know, they are, all families are very contentious. It becomes that over a lifetime. And here, nobody has any agenda. Nobody is proving anything. Everybody just wants to live for the moment. You're not trying to score brownie points and stuff like that, right? With the, you're not. And people, that's what I think, you know, is it makes people happier. You go to the dining room, you have a chat with somebody else, and then it's over and done with. You're not, it doesn't hang on your head after that, right? It's, any conversation is just for the moment. So it's brilliant to be living in the moment, is what people discover when they're in community. It's
you know, because I could talk forever, Shubha, but I'm also aware that I want to try and just capture the essence of so many different things that you have told us today about what does a senior citizen home look like? What kind of people go and live in there? What kind of ideas and emotions and fears both young people like you and the elderly themselves think about? What is it that you can tell us that perhaps we can take away for the future, whether we have an elderly relative in the home or not? We can maybe use those learnings or whatever you've taken away, because you have far more experience than I do. I have one mother who I see 4 or 5 times a year. That's it. I don't live with her 24/7, and I don't live with a group of people like her 24/7. I choose to go and meet my friend Annette Smith in London, who you may have heard the podcast with her, where I've talked to her. I choose to go and meet my friend Flower Silliman in Kolkata. I have friends. But I go in, I zoom in, I zoom out. You have far more wealth. Share with us, if you can, what we can take away from your rich and privileged life at the moment.
Oh, I would say if there's any one place where your mental health, your physical health, and healing can come together, it's in a community of retirees. And I do feel that this should be so aspirational that the younger generation would want to become old, exactly as Maurice Chevalier says. I'm so glad I'm not young anymore. If we could look forward to old age, like wow, it doesn't have to be a Benjamin Button kind of thing going backwards into, you know, being a baby. We are going to have our second childhood, which is exactly what I did. I grabbed my second childhood back by writing a book. You know, I'm trying to write, to play the piano. These are all childhood dreams that just got lost. And here's a place that where all of it can come back to you and you can finish life full circle. And be fulfilled for all the things you didn't. And I think the biggest blessing of being old is to be able to heal relationships, you know, that you've had during your lifetime that for some reason didn't finish off well. So there is a chance up to your deathbed where healing can take place. And that's all I think. You just have to
All of what you've said, I find fabulous. And I celebrate. The idea of healing, how come you can only do it when you're in a senior citizen home? Why can't I do this healing in my own home? Thank you very much.
Yes, you're right.
I'm just asking.
I'm feeling it because I'm here, right? And what I see is the ones that are going, you're seeing so many of these people go. Death gets you, when you're away from all of this death and every day growing older, it doesn't remind you. It doesn't remind you as easily.
Thank you.
Here you're reminded every minute.
Thank you. That's beautiful. That really is.
Yeah.
Should we give a plug to this wonderful place you're staying at? What's it called?
It's called Serene Urbana, the community for retirees, senior community. Very often I've said, you know, we should just feel, it's not called that, but you should feel that this is a senior resort. Why don't we just call it a resort? It's like a holiday of a lifetime. And you come here to have a holiday because you slog so much through your entire life and you deserve this. So you just come.
Just come and have a holiday time. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Shubha, as I said, I could talk to you forever because there's just so many things here that you have shared with us. And I really appreciate it. It's not often we can have the opportunity to speak to somebody like you who's living in a senior citizen home, who, in my opinion, is certainly not old or senior or decrepit or any of the things that often people think about when we think of senior citizen homes. So it's become, you've given us a window into a place that we may not know so well. And more importantly, or equally importantly, you've given us a window into all of us who are of a certain age, where if we live longer and we live into our 80s or 90s, we'll be like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So give ourselves the opportunity to heal. Give ourselves the opportunity to create a good environment, a peaceful environment. And also, the very powerful sentence that you said, the idea of creating a community for us when we get to death and dying is very, very crucial.
Very important.
Thank you, Shubha. Shubha Priya, thank you so very much for sharing.
Thank you so very much, Smita. So, as always, a pleasure to talk to you.
Kaushala Mahamantana Vanarayana Ninna Namada Smaranaya Saramritavu Yenna Naligege Varali Narayana Santata Hari Ninna Sasirada Namava Santata Hari Ninna Sasirada Namava Antarangadalli Irasi Santata Hari Ninna Sasirada Namava Antarangadalli Irasi Yento Purandara Vithala Rayana Yento Purandara Vithala Rayana Antikala Dalli Chintisoha Ye Antikala Dalli Chintisoha Ye Narayana Ninna Namada Smaranaya Saravritavu Yenna Naligege
Thank you for listening to Stories Seldom Told. I am Smita Tharoor. It is you, the listener, that makes this podcast what it is. If you like this podcast, please do share. If any of you anywhere in the world feel that you have stories to share, please do connect with me on social media at Smita Tharoor on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, or on my company page, Tharoor Associates, on Facebook. We will be back next week.